The Geek Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Gamefly, video games delivered. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad, bringing you all the hits that are hits across the nation.
No, that's later.
Oh,
it's
sorry.
Later. It's a different...
Well, in that case, never mind. Carry on, Darren.
We want to first thank our sponsors. Thank them first, because after what I say about this month's pile of shame, they may not be back. So, thank you to GameStop, power to the players. Thank you to Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. They're the OG sponsors, by the way. Shirtosaurus, they've been with us forever.
Yeah.
T-shirt drop? I know. And Gamefly, video games delivered. Because, you know, sometimes you just want someone else to bring you a game. You don't want to actually get up and go to the store and do it yourself. And you also don't want to, like me with the pile of shame review, drop money on something that ends up being absolutely terrible. So, Gamefly,
I feel like he's building this up just a little bit too much.
Yeah, okay,
like we're going to find out. He's like, and I played Super Mario Galaxy, and let me tell you, and I'm going to be like, dude, I didn't like it, but everyone else loves this game. You're wrong.
Fine. Well, whether you love it or hate it, the best way to play a video game is to rent it from Gamefly first. They send it to you in the mail. You send it back when you're done. They even give you the envelope and postage. It's easy peasy. And you can sign up for a free trial at geekcavepodcast.com. Just click on the Gamefly link at the top of the page.
And if you really like the game and you want to buy it for someone else, you can go to GameStop to buy it.
This is true. This is very true. And you can get them a nice t-shirt from Shirtosaurus, gaming-related t-shirt. And kind of complete that little ensemble there.
GameStop is where I got my Wii version of TMNT for Darren. You keep forgetting that at my house.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
The air quotes and the surreptitious wink really seem to send mixed signals on this.
All right, let's take a look at some news before we get too far into the weeds. Speaking of Nintendo... So, Consumer Electronics Show was not that long ago, and Alienware kind of made some waves. This is Dell's gaming PC line. They unveiled the Concept UFO, which looks really damn familiar. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's a portable device with detachable controllers on each side that can combine using a grip to make a full controller. And you can also attach it to your TV.
It's a Megazord.
So
they built a Megazord.
Maybe it's one of the Jaegers from Pacific Rim.
Yes. Even so, better.
So the UFO has an 8-inch screen with really nice resolution.
Much.
Detachable controllers. You can play it handheld. You can play it connected to the TV. It's a Switch. It's a souped-up Nintendo Switch with kind of a weird angular screen. But the best part is Alienware is not even hiding this, like, in any way. On Twitter, they shared a review, and the review got a lot of people upset because the review said that the Nintendo Switch has a limited amount of games and a bad price, which I don't know if anyone's ever bought an Alienware product before. But they charge twice as much as anyone else for the same PC components. It's like the Apple of Windows, to give you an idea.
But it looks so cool, and you get that neat decal.
Sure, and it the joysticks light up. So
well, Nintendo don't do that.
anal probe accessories sold separately.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's like a second attachment. But
get it? Aliens.
Yeah,
I get you.
We don't know when this is coming out or even if. They keep saying it's a concept, probably because they're waiting to see just how big the lawsuit from Nintendo actually is. But either way, I mean, I'll admit, it looks cool. And as someone who can't for the life of me upgrade my PC on my own, this might be a nice solution if you want to take your PC games with you, but you remember that the NVIDIA Shield sucks. Moving along, but still on the PC bandwagon, Chad, you remember Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yeah.
Yeah, good game. Came out in 2017. I asked Chad because Justin doesn't have a PS4, and I'm sorry. We're trying to fix that.
Actually, I'm going to wait till the PS5 because it'll be backwards compatible with the 4.
As long as we know.
So they say, yes.
So we've been told. But Horizon Zero Dawn might be getting a PC release this year. This is according to numerous industry sources who say that Horizon Zero Dawn, which so far has been a PS4 exclusive, will be launching on both Steam and the Epic Games Store. Of course, now that we've talked about it in this recording, it'll happen by the time this episode goes up, because that is the law of the Geek Cave. You're welcome, Internet, by the way. We've brought so many things to fruition. We are heroes. Damned heroes.
Big damn heroes, sir.
Big damn heroes, yes. But Guerrilla Games...
I'm just a leaf on the wind.
Guerrilla Games not saying much, but this would be the first PlayStation-owned title to hit the PC. Death Stranding did get confirmed, but that's a Kojima production saying, and it's also super pretentious. Sorry.
Hey,
I know some people like
it. It's a
hiking
simulator. Let's go play.
It's a UPS simulator. You have to trudge through endless miles of barren wasteland, so Kansas, while carrying a whole bunch of stuff on your back, so hitchhiking simulator, while also playing as Norman Reedus. So, yeah, I didn't like it. Got it through Gamefly, by the way. It's not the pile of shame review. And finally, from CES, Arcade 1UP announced some more arcades for your home. Of course, these are something that are kind of niche products. I mean, $300 to $500, but you get your own little arcade cabinet for the home. I've got the TMNT one. And they announced digital pinball. This is neat. It looks like a pinball table, but everything is done digitally. You've got two big-ass screens, basically. One for the back, one for the front. So you can swap out what game you're playing, but you've still got the haptic feedback on the buttons. It still feels like a pinball machine. First one's going to be Star Wars, and then followed by Attack from Mars. Those will be coming later this year. Arcade 1UP also announcing Birder Time and Frogger. And, of course, the one that's got a lot of people talking, NBA Jam, is coming. Big four-player cabinet. Neatest thing is that NBA Jam will be the first Arcade 1UP cabinet, and I think one of the first arcade cabinets in general to be able to play with others wirelessly over Wi-Fi, so you can play with people online. That's going to be cool. That's coming out third quarter of this year. So if you're saving up for Christmas or holiday, whatever holiday you celebrate, now's probably the best time to do that.
Yeah. I celebrate Thursdays.
Thursdays are pretty cool. They're like Friday Eve. The only other thing I've got, Sony has announced they're not going to be at E3 this year. The same year the PS5 is coming out, Sony announcing, yeah, we're not doing E3. They'll probably still have some kind of like digital showcase like what Nintendo has had. But really, that just leaves Microsoft as the only one of the big three still planning to be at E3 this year. So it's kind of interesting to see what kind of relevancy the E3 Expo has. Nintendo got it started with their Direct line of presentations. And now everybody's doing those, and nobody actually wants to go to California and be part of the Entertainment Electronic Expo. This coincides with them making it more available to the public, so I don't know if that is one of the reasons or if it's just an unhappy coincidence.
I think it's ultimately going to turn into... I think this is related to Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, so... Netflix kind of doomed cable because it said, hey, we got all the channels, you know, or all these things, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. And then everyone said, Oh, well, maybe we should do that. Well, let's stop sending our stuff to Netflix. And now you got CBS All Access, HBO Now, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Disney Plus, so on and so forth.
You were supposed to destroy cable, not become it.
And so I think what we have is Nintendo Direct started doing this, like, oh, we can have an entirely captive audience that is not got their... That doesn't have their attention diverted, and we can do a direct. I think that's ultimately what it's going to be. I think that E3 is going to become a software show solely.
Yeah.
You know, because I still think that Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft, they're going to send their production companies in to talk about certain games.
You didn't want hands-on demos, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. But the actual hardware stuff and the specific, like, big name stuff, they're never going to take it to another show. You know, not when you can command higher numbers reached for less money by doing a direct the way they are.
People that are specifically interested in your product as well.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got for news. What do you guys have?
So, talking about games coming out and new games, Stranger Things now has a pinball machine.
Nice.
That's it was just shown off at CES, and it has a movie screen in it, a little projector that comes out, you know, Demogorgon and so forth. It's using magnets in it to kind of hold on to up to three of the little steel balls to kind of mimic Eleven's telekinetic abilities and so forth.
Nice.
And so if you want the mid-tier level, it'll only set you back like $7,100. But if you want the top tier, of which only 500 are being made, then it'll run you $9,099.
Does it come with Winona Ryder?
It does not. It always makes sure she finishes first. Otherwise, Sony has announced, and from where we're recording, it will release, but for you listening, it released on January 27th. Sony's released an accessory for the DualShock 4 called the Back Button. And this is an add-on to your regular controller that allows you to program two buttons to the back of the controller. I see this as being a real big advantage if you play a lot of 3D games with platforming, because the big problem is you kind of have to do the claw, you know, so you can control the camera and your jump at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you can relegate that jump button to the back and not sacrifice control of the camera.
Okay.
I could see that being useful in first-person shooters as well.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's only $30. You know, in terms of something like this that suddenly changes your regular DualShock 4 to what is effectively a competitive controller for $30 instead of spending the $112 or whatever it is for an actual, you know, competitive controller. It's programmable. So it has like three preset loadouts, but then you just hold the display on the back and you can actually choose what those buttons are going to be. They're not automatically R2, L2. So like take Death Stranding, like you have to hold on to R2, L2 in order to hold on to the straps of your pack.
Yeah.
So it doesn't fall down. Well, after a while, you're just squeezing the hell out of your controller after so long. And now you can put those on the back, and with fairly, you know, the pressure that you're already using to hold them, the controller, you can do that. So for those who play a lot and want just a little bit more flexibility in the control scheme, or a little bit more control in your controller, it might be worth giving a look out. I think ultimately that this is something that they're doing to see whether or not the DualShock 5 is going to have this back button functionality right away. I think that's something that they're looking into. I don't have proof of that, but that's just kind of my assumption.
Okay.
So, but imagine playing Spider-Man and actually being able to control the camera kind of cinematically while you're jumping instead of having to be like, oh, okay, and now I need to, and he's floating in the air, turn the camera. So it's an interesting idea. I look forward to seeing how it's implemented and how it can be used most effectively. Don't know if I'll get one just yet, but who knows? I plan on having that PS4 for a while yet.
There you go.
Even right. If the next one comes out, what, Christmas?
Holiday 2020 is what they keep saying, so I'm hoping for Halloween because that's technically a holiday.
I like it.
Before we get to Justin, I do want to backtrack real briefly. Just a brief rant. Kingdom Hearts 3, the DLC, Remind, don't buy it.
No?
You're dropping $30 for 4 hours of content, two of which you've already played through. It's basically running you back through the gauntlet at the end of the game, and then 2 more hours of actual new content, which you can look up on YouTube. Don't be like me. Don't spend $30 on this. It's stupid. It's predatory. Justin, what you got?
Huh. Well, as you guys know, I don't get to play many video games. It's just not something I have a chance to do. Right. But I do have a wide breadth of knowledge. And so I was scrolling through Reddit the other day, and I came across Ask Games. I'm like, okay, let's see what's on there. And I came across a question. I thought, okay, I think I can help answer this. This is just kind of a generic, you know, I'm just going to talk to everybody about it.
Right, right.
And the question is Anthem any good?
Fair question.
Yes, I know this is one of those subjective questions where one person's experience doesn't necessarily reflect those of the others. That being said, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield is a decent insurance company. Yes, they have their issues. Hey. But what insurance company doesn't? I've had it on and off over the years, and I've also had much worse. Are there better ones? Yes. Is it as good as universal health care? I wouldn't know. I live in the United States. Anyway, it's a bit pricey on your own, but through an employer, it's not that bad. So,
quick question.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with games?
What game?
Okay. Well, you got it from Ask Games, so I was just...
That was the question. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I can help with this.
Okay, that's fair.
Gamers need insurance too, Chad.
I suppose that's true. Okay. Okay. By the way, the song's not too bad either.
Yeah, it's not.
Unrelated, Anthem is free now on EA Access, the game. Not the, you know what? Never mind. Kent!
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
Okay, so this is February.
I'm listening.
Hello, world. I'm listening. This is February. This is the month of, you know, love. Valentine's Day. Month of love. Yes. It's also the month that Sonic the Hedgehog hits theaters. The movie that it's basically Hop. It's Hop. If you haven't seen Hop, it's Hop.
Sonic play the drums? I think not.
I think he does, actually.
Well, shit.
If you haven't seen it, brief review. James Marsden, Cyclops from the original X-Men films, finds the Easter Bunny and they go on wacky adventures. From what I can tell from Sonic the Hedgehog 2020, James Marsden finds Sonic the Hedgehog, a small mammal, once again, and they go on random wacky adventures. It's Hop.
With Jim Carrey.
With Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik, who may just be... Oh, sorry, Dr. Eggman. No, screw you, Sega. It's Robotnik. Who may just be a revelation in the role. But I thought, with that in mind, what better way to kick off my pile of shame for the year than with a game that I got through a bundle that I never actually wanted I bought a Sonic bundle on Steam because it was $2 because there was one game I wanted in it, Sonic CD, and it came with 10 games. One of those games was Sonic Lost World. Sonic Lost World, I don't know how to follow. Sonic Lost World is the equivalent of a root canal done by a clown.
Pain and laughter?
There's a lot of pain. There's some pretty colors. An occasional balloon. And you probably think you're in the middle of a fever dream. So the basic story of Sonic Lost World is Sonic is trying to stop this alien tribe. They are seeking to siphon energy from this long-lost planet. Dr. Eggman is involved. There's parkour. Oh, my God. It's so bad, guys. I can't even, like, finish telling you about the story because I couldn't stop.
The dinosaur
stop.
Shows up in the United States. What, San Diego, California?
Something like that. And then Sonic throws a hat and takes over it.
Yes.
Takes over its mind.
Actually, it's funny you bring up Mario because Sonic Lost World is an almost diabolical ripoff of Super Mario Galaxy.
Huh.
In that you're
and
on
you
smaller...
And you liked that one.
I did like that one, but you're on smaller planetoids. You're going upside down. You know, gravity is something that can be played with. The difference is Super Mario Galaxy had interesting concepts, and it had good gameplay. Sonic Lost World, in a game series which, may I remind you, is about gotta go fast. In Sonic Lost World, you have to hold a button to run. This is the only Sonic game I can ever think of where you've actually had a run button because Sonic's default speed is running, guys. If you find the stream that we did on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/DeepCavePodcast, you'll find out what I'm talking about. It might have migrated over to YouTube by now, so just search for it there. I spent the first half hour of the stream with a surprisingly slow Sonic the Hedgehog because I did not realize that there was a bloody run button.
And this, kids, you can go upside down if you hit the special block.
Yes, damn it, Chad, yes. Also, the graphics are poor. There's a lot of jagged pixelization for something that should not have been the case for something that was released in 2013. There are glitches where you straight up fall through the level and die. It's just bad, almost offensively. I mean, like, I was literally offended playing this game. That's how bad it was. The surprising thing is development started right after the release of Sonic Colors, which we reviewed way back in 2010, and it was actually really, really good. So, yeah, controls are bad. The characters, the antagonists are all one note, stupid, just straight up stupid. Don't play this game. Don't be like me in any way. If you see a bundle, a Sonic bundle, and there's maybe one or two games you want, but this one's included, there's a reason this one's included. It was released on the Wii U and it sold like shit. And it still can't sell at all. They have to just throw this at you. It's like, you ever tried to get rid of something and like people won't even buy it at a yard sale and you take it to the Salvation Army or Goodwill and they literally give it back to you? That is Sonic Lost World. Don't be like me. Don't get it from Gamefly. Avoid eye contact with it. I mean, never touch it. This is for my PC what TMNT for the Wii was for me on the Wii.
So it gets a one because it lets you close it out?
It gets a half. It gets like 0.5.
We ought to make a list of these games and put these games onto giving tiers for Extra Life.
Yes. No.
Yes.
What the hell?
You know, because really it's kind of this, and I'm not being cruel. I think that we can make it kind of a significant giving tier. You know, $500 you donate.
Darren,
you know,
has to play
and
E.T.
And Darren will, Darren will play E.T. or, you know, TMNT or, you know, but, you know, for, we'll need to do some research. We'll need to go back through these and find out which ones he's really despised versus the ones that have just been bad.
Or for you brave listeners out there,
Oh yeah,
you could do that. You could do this for us and just email us at geekcavepod. What is it? What's the email address, Darren?
Geekcavepodcast@gmail.com. And I'm totally fine with crowdsourcing it.
So I'm thinking like $500. He has to play ET.
It'll be really hard to get that to where we can stream it.
Yeah. $1,000. He has to play TMNT.
I can probably get ET set up to stream through what we've been using for our other retro consoles.
Okay, cool.
$1,500. Yeah. He's got to play Sonic CD.
Okay.
No, Sonic Lost World.
Sonic Lost World. Yeah.
Sonic CD was good.
Okay. No, we're not playing that one. Sonic Lost World.
So now these might change places, folks, depending on more.
These might just be the benchmarks. We raise $500. Darren's got to play.
You know,
because we'll
do that.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Yes.
You know, Darren will do that by himself. No,
the masochist that he is.
I like the idea of the individual giver being able to mark these things. And if we have two givers that give $500, then he plays it twice as long.
Yes.
Ooh. You know, instead of a half hour, he has to play an hour's worth.
Yeah, I like this.
Kind of thing. So, and remember, Darren, it's for the kids.
For the kids.
It's for the kids.
You know, if they had a movie watching version of Extra Life, you'd be able to do this to me.
Yeah.
You know, you could make me watch Frogs or something.
Which you own.
Which I own, but don't watch.
Yeah, you could make me read a bad comic. Which I probably own.
I mean, we've done that.
And I certainly have bad comics.
Yeah.
You know, I have the second Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
And I think I have the second Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. I mean, I have to put in work for this because, you know, for every $40 donation, I have to draw.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to work.
That's true.
So, anyway, it's an idea, folks. If it'll help raise that money for the kids, you know, it's never... Remember, in like 8 months, we're going to be playing again.
Yeah. All right. Well, keep that in mind. By the way, our team page is set up now.
Tweet at us.
I've already joined.
Tweet at us with hashtag poor Darren.
I love that.
If you think this is a good idea, use the hashtag poor Darren so we can keep track of who really wants this to happen.
All right. At Geek Cave Podcast on Twitter. You have to write it out. Okay, well, the Extra Life team page is set up, by the way. You can click on the Extra Life button at the top of geekcavepodcast.com. It'll take you right there. Go ahead and donate while this idea is still fresh in their minds.
You betcha.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. Anything else, guys?
That's all I got for games. I'm working on a fifth level tiefling sorcerer.
Ooh.
He's pretty cool.
Nice.
He's a librarian. He's like 65 years old.
Okay, all right.
He is a wonderful, grumpy old man.
Awesome.
So, I don't know. I guess I could compare Anthem with other insurance companies. Let me look.
Okay. Well, he does that. Again, thank you to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, GameStop, and Gamefly. Be sure to check out the comic episode, which came out yesterday, and the movie episode, which is coming out tomorrow. Unless you're listening to this on the weekend, of course, then we've just screwed up your schedule. But be sure to find us on your favorite podcast service, including now on Google Play.